Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, my brothers, my sisters. Thank you for tuning in. Today is a great day. You're listening to KDAC 102.5 FM, Bismarck Mandan's community radio station. This is Spark Talk. My name is Matt LeClaire, the SPRC, and Spark Talk stands for the Sacred Pipe Resource Center. The Sacred Pipe Resource Center is a local Native American nonprofit organization, but the executive director is the one, the only, the legend, Dr. Cheryl Carey. I'd like to say a big thank you to her and a big thank you to everybody over at the Sacred Pipe offices, without which none of this would be possible. Coming up today on the show, we got a treat for you. We have another legend that I had the privilege of interviewing. You know him in the powwow world. You know him in the business world. You know him in the 3-on-3 basketball tournament world. I'm talking about the one, the only, Mr. Rusty Gillette. So go ahead and stick around. We got that interview coming up. For any more information on the Sacred Pipe Resource Center events, hit up the Facebook page, click on the little magnifying glass, type in the search bar Sacred Pipe Resource Center, or you can go to www.sacredpipe.net or give 701-426-1315 a call, and we can tell you, and you can see more events. Also, for the first time, this show normally is a half an hour. Today, we're going for a full hour. Also, introducing podcast versions available. Go to the kdacfm.org website and navigate down to podcast, and you can listen to the Spark Talk shows. We'll have all the shows available and up and coming from our catalog as we progress. But here we go. Rusty Gillette. Coming to you live, sort of live, from the downtown studios in beautiful Bismarck, North Dakota. You're listening to KDAC 102.5 FM. My name is Matt LeClaire, and you're listening to Spark Talk. Today in the studio, we have an amazing guest, an awesome guy, an awesome person. You know him in the powwow world. You know him as a businessman. And I just want to say, in the studio, we have Rusty Gillette. Say hello, Rusty.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. You're welcome. No, thank you. Thank you. It is an honor to be here. I mean, I'm feeling good about it. It's a good day. Rusty, we like to have natives on the show that, you know, either start their own business or they lead the way, whether it be in volunteer work, community sponsorship, or just all around just interesting people. And you kind of are one of the first guests that I've had on that fits all the bills. I mean, you've had, if you think about it and look back, you have a very, very, very illustrious career in two separate worlds. And being a native that had to live in both those worlds also, like the powwow world and mm-hmm. the business world. Mm-hmm. How do you balance that out?
You know, it's hard. I mean, when you talk about just being a young person mm-hmm. growing up in Bismarck, you talk about balancing out traditional values. Mm-hmm. You look at everything and how they're taught in our school systems. Mm-hmm. You look at our ceremonies. You know, they take place on our reservations, and it's not easy to get there. So over the years, you try to find a way to balance things out and find a way to make everything work together, because it's hard to do, and it's not as easy. And some of our people, they struggle with trying to find their way in different worlds, whether that be in college, in the workplace, whether that be in our traditional places, powwows or ceremonies. You know, trying to figure out how to make it all work together is easier said than done, because we are growing together in a world that's, we're still trying to find our place.
That's very true. It's kind of like, when I was growing up, we'd go to the powwows every weekend, you know, and I saw you at a lot of them. I mean, and it's, when you're at the powwow for Friday, Saturday, Sunday, that's just a small facet of the whole powwow world. Like, doesn't Canada do powwows like a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday or something?
Nowadays, they do a lot of weekday powwows where it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I mean, you could go up to Canada and you could probably powwow for a month straight. Mm-hmm. I mean, some people do it. You know, nowadays I get one weekend in, and it takes me till Wednesday to wake up.
In our family, we called that the powwow hangover.
Exactly.
Like the traveling, the putting up the, I mean, my mom and dad have a camper now, but we used to put up our tents and mm-hmm. oh gosh, it was like a whole little camp going on there.
Yeah.
But, you have your own business. Is that correct?
Yeah. I'm a graphic artist. I went to college out at the University of Mary, graduated with a communications degree with a focus in public relations. I was almost a journalist. Cool. So I did a lot of writing all through college. I even had a crazy, I look back on it now, but I had my own little weekly powwow column in the Minot Daily News.
That's awesome.
So I did a lot of writing for school newspapers, sports, cultural things through the Tribune. I worked in the sports department under Abe Winter. Many people in the Bismarck area remember Abe. Mm-hmm. He's pretty famous, and he really took me under his wing, taught me a lot, had a lot of respect for him and what he did to young people who wanted to be journalists, because I did like to write. And fortunately, I got to win some things as a journalist, as a young student reporter in our state journalist competitions.
Yeah.
And it really got me fired up about it. So I was almost a journalist. And then I out of college, I got an internship at the United Printing here in Bismarck. And it's a printing firm. I think they're like the second largest in North Dakota. I'm not sure, but
I know that they're really big.
They're one of the older print places. Yep. And they started out as like Crown Press and kind of went through, merged with a few different companies over the years. But a man named Henry Beckler was the art director there, and they signed me up for an internship, and I went in not knowing anything about graphic arts. I was like, had a few good ideas in college. I got a pretty prestigious work study job in the communications department at Mary. So I got to do some professional things that got me fired up about layout and design. So through that, I got an internship at United Printing. At the time, their goal was to kind of create a Native American clientele.
Yeah.
Using Native American graphic artists. And so they took me in with no experience.
That's awesome.
And they kind of developed me to do what I do. And when you work in a print place, you work backwards. So you get all these people's jobs. You try to figure them out how they're going to print the way people view them on the screen.
Oh, that makes sense.
So I understood the programs backwards from the inside out. And then that helped me with my layout and design, just learning different techniques and how other people do things. And I was really fortunate. Nowadays, I really look back on that time at United Printing as what really, really motivated me and helped me along the way and made me be able to live on my own as an independent freelance graphic artist nowadays, just because there's a lot of graphic artists out there.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to choose from, and I've been pretty fortunate to have a lot of the same customers come back my way. But I credit United Printing in those years. And I encourage everybody who has you want to start your own business, everybody has ideas, but how to execute those ideas is another ballgame, and how to maintain them and my suggestion to anybody who does their own business is to go work for somebody. Go work whether it's for your tribe or wherever, a building company. Go work for yourself, develop your trade, perfect what you do. And then that way, when you get on your own, then you can service these people and you can answer all their questions. You won't have to rely on, well, let me ask this person, let me ask that person. And which happens a lot. It happens more than you think.
Oh, yeah. Even here in the radio industry, like, you have to ask people, well, I'm not too sure how to do that, but I'll figure it out pretty soon.
Yeah, I mean? Like plugging in this mic.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah. I have to rely on everybody. Then you kind of see, like, definitely, Josh, if you're listening, we miss you. But you don't give yourself a lot of credit, because when you used to do power-up posters, is that right?
Yeah.
I recognize your style, and I think I'm not the only one that knows this, but I can recognize your style specifically, and I can kind of really see if you're the one that had a hand in it. You know what I mean? Like, there's just a certain flair you got.
And even when you deal with, many people aren't quite sure what a graphic artist does. And people think they're illustrators. People think they draw. And we don't.
Nope.
We don't. We just kind of bring things together and put effects to them. And most of my clients are Native American people all throughout the country.
Yep.
And I do quite a few powwows, because powwows like to promote their events, and that's how they rely on their promotion, is their powwow poster. So I get to fortunately do for powwows like Gathering of Nations, Sequan out in California, Kinder, Louisiana, got to do some things for local powwows like White Shields.
Yep.
Just a lot of various powwows, and it's stuff I love to do because you get old photos of people and their families, and yep. and they're not really expecting anything. People mm-hmm. don't really expect a lot, but they want something cool. Mm-hmm. And to be able to bring everything together using our cultural identity, whether yep. that be designs, pictures, to be able to like find that aspect in what I do is like really motivates me and keeps me going and loving what I do.
Cause like graphic designers, they think that, you know, you do all of that, but you're just kind of like taking different parts of everything and putting them together and then the background and all that.
Exactly. You're like, you're coming up with something out of nothing. And mm-hmm. that's every job I get, whether they want a logo, whether they want a billboard, mm-hmm. a poster, you're just basically, most of the times people don't have ideas. And you're coming up with something out of nothing. So, I've been, fortunate enough to really appreciate just my ability to be able to do that, come up with something out of nothing. Mm-hmm. And people have really, taking to it. And I really, it motivates me to find new ways to do things, to find new effects that programs offer. Because when I first started as a graphic artist, we were looking at black and white screens that were probably about 6 inches wide. Damn. And, you know, back then I wore glasses and I was blind because my eyes strained all day. But it's come a long ways where the technique, whether you're just working at home or working in some fancy PR firm in New York City, yep. you use the same equipment and mm-hmm. you have access to the same things that they do, and trying to figure out how to manipulate and use those things to your advantage in our world, in my world, which is with our Native American people, is really exciting.
Mm-hmm. Also, another thing that back in the day, like you said, the technology is making it simpler. Technology mm-hmm. is seemingly making everything simpler.
Yeah.
So, like you said, everybody now has access to the same type of templates, the same type of fonts, the same type of images and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So now it's an issue of the particular person's artistic influence and their artistic insight and output are really what's pushing things. Like I said, you have that gift of, there's a certain flair and a certain style that are applied to not only your posters, but also like, don't you do labels for CDs too?
Yep. I run Drum Hop Productions. It's basically a record label for powwow yep, or Native yep. American music. So I started that back in 2004 mm-hmm. and with a friend started that because there wasn't very many for our Native American, for a lot of people who don't understand powwows, are the drum groups that you hear at powwows are basically rock bands.
Yeah, they are.
And they're similar. You have popular ones, you have some that aren't very good, some mm-hmm. that sing really well, some yep. that the people would buy their music, and mm-hmm. a lot of them sell their own CDs. So there wasn't a lot of options for our drum groups, and I didn't want them to feel like they had to go with one of these older, more prestigious record companies because that was their only option. So we started that to give them another option so that the singers could keep their own music and they wouldn't be taken advantage of in a lot of ways, which all these singing groups, just like any rock band, would mm-hmm. have horror stories about feeling like they got ripped off.
Oh, yeah.
So we started that, and I do all the artwork for Drum Hop Productions. We do all the CD covers, just the marketing for a lot of the different drums. But, you know, as everybody knows, the CD production, I mean, when's the last time you bought a CD? It's probably been a while.
Yeah.
And everybody's like that. Everything's downloaded nowadays. So the CD production, the Drum Hop isn't what it used to be. It's mm-hmm. slowed down quite a bit. We've, over the years, we've done 56, 57 releases, all the way from powwow music to round dance music to flute music. It's 56 projects we've put out. We usually do Black Hills Powwow every year, where we record the powwow and release the drum groups there. A flute CD that we're working on right now that should be out hopefully by spring. It still kind of keeps itself going, but I still, because of the CD covers and how it's marketed, a lot of people do see that part of it like you do. They see the CD covers. Mm-hmm. And I do, I really like to do CD covers.
Yeah. I know you from Grass Dancing. For those of you listening, Rusty Gillette is basically nationwide Canada and America, just known, you know, as so many things. And one of them that I grew up looking and watching Rusty do was Grass Dance. I mean, he's, don't let him, you know, be humble. He's an amazing grass dancer. You know what I mean? He's up there with quite a lot of the ones, you know what I mean?
Well, I appreciate that. Yep. But yeah, I grass dance my whole life. Mm-hmm. It was just, people are confused. They think if you're Indian, you need to be in powwows.
Yeah, like, exactly.
And that's, there's so much to our culture that powwows is just a small fraction of it. And, and when you talk about our ceremonies and our community events and things like that go on, like hand games, and there's so much more that goes on outside of powwows. Powwows are actually a contemporary idea, but people think it's like traditional, and it's really not, because of the money. But it's exciting because it brings us all together.
Exactly.
A lot of good things happen, and it gives us a chance to share our culture about not only just Native American culture, but within each tribe. It lets us share ideas and different dances and designs and colors and like a lot of different things that way. And I was fortunate enough to be brought up into it by my parents. Now that I get older, I get asked to work a lot more powwows than I used to. So I don't know if that's a sign of them putting me out to pasture, or I'll take it as a compliment that people would trust me to help run their powwow. So I'll serve on in different capacities.
I see you as an arena director a lot.
Yeah, arena director, head judge.
And then the arena director, for those of you out there listening, that don't know, I mean, a lot of natives are listening going, come on now, you know what that is. But a lot of the people that really don't, arena director is like, how would you call it?
Like, it's like, he's kind of like the ringleader.
The ringleader,
so there's
a
lot of, when you go to a powwow, people don't just go out there and dance. There's like a schedule, there's announcers, there's head judges, there's head dance judge, head singing judge, all these people that are running the powwow. The arena director kind of connects all the dots.
Yeah, and then the arena director, you also, people don't think, like, a lot of these places that you're at having a powwow, the venue that you might be at might have a certain time, or there might be some sort of city ordinance that you have to be aware of also.
Yeah, there's a lot of different factors that get factored in. And every powwow is different. I mean, you have some like United Tribes who has their own arena and their own campus, and they can be there till 3 a.m. And you have other powwows you go to, they're indoors, they need to be out by midnight, and they have 16 categories to do in about an hour and a half, and 2 specials, and how are you going to do that?
Yep.
You know, you have a singing contest, you have dance contests. A lot of people don't realize, non-Indians don't realize that, you know, there's powwows that go on, but there's competition. It's just like a rodeo. You can go there, you can win money. It kind of, the money drives the powwow and attracts people. And sometimes that's a negative thing, but sometimes that's a positive thing. It kind of depends on how you want to look at it, because not everybody can win. And so it gets to be a difficult thing.
And then the other thing is, there's also a lot of politics, and then powwows are like a Native American sport. You know what I mean?
It people don't realize our powwows are kind of like our professional athletes.
Exactly. They are, because, and then not every weekend are the same people winning. You might have the same top 5, or depends on which area you're at, depends on the judges. There's so many different facets that go into this, and it's great that, you know, I have somebody in the studio to talk about with this that sees that and understands it. Also, what people aren't seeing with the modern powwow, like you said, it is a modern day thing. And powwow, there is a lot of business opportunity there. And people don't realize that. People think, a lot of non-natives that listen or think of the word powwow in Native Americans, they think of people sitting around a fire, dancing around in the dark. But in reality, there's bright lights, there's spectacle, there's amazing beadwork that shines and glistens in the sun and in the lights at night.
Yeah.
And people recognize when a particular, you know, they have favorite dancers, favorite drum groups. They'll see when they have a brand new outfit. You know what I mean?
Everything's made to catch the eyes of the judges. And you have vendors a lot of vendors go powwow to powwow. That's how they raise their families. You have some vendors who might just hit 1 or 2 powwows a year, and a lot of different things. And that's when we talk about powwow, there's so much going on. It's hard to, you know, we could talk about
all day.
We could talk all day and all day tomorrow about all the different things that go on in a powwow. And it's a beautiful thing, because when you go there, you whatever you take from it is what you take from it. Whether you're there for competition, whether you're there just to watch or support your family, sing, dance, work, whatever it may be. But it's actually a beautiful place.
It is. It's a very healing place.
When you go there, you feel so like there's so much going on and you feel like an excitement. That's why when we talk about powwow hangover, it's a true thing because you come down from that high almost.
The endorphin rush.
And you come down and Monday when it's time to work and get things done, you're like groggy and tired and like trying to snap out of it. And it's just like I would say it's like going to a concert.
It is, definitely.
The feelings are the same. You get the same highs.
Yeah. You get the same smells, the same sights, the same sounds. You know what I mean? Like Frybird Express is there and you can smell Frybird. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And then you look for which dancers are there, but we're gonna get back on topic. You'll be kind of got off topic there a little bit, but you know, powwows, like you said, are an amazing thing, amazing place, and I'm glad that I had him a part. And I like what you said about a lot of people think that in order to be native, a part of being a native is going to powwows, but that's a small facet. Like, there's so many people that I've had on the show that are almost ashamed that they don't go to powwows.
Yeah,
that
and
they
it's don't so know. Wrong.
It is. It is because if you identify as native, if you are Native American and you were raised how your grandparents taught you, your mom and dad, then you're a native. Like, sport it. Be proud of it.
Yeah.
And one thing that I always thought was very interesting is when you are, like, you know, you have, you know, your everyday job, right? What do you do to keep in touch with, like, your native side?
Nowadays are so much different than when we were kids. There's so much more there's been a real push for our youth.
Yeah.
And the things available for my kids nowadays with, like, immersion programs and camps, cultural camps, language classes and Sweat Sundance. There's so much more things that are so much easily and more readily available to my kids that weren't back when I was a kid. So nowadays, the way I try to stay in touch with my culture and learn my ways is just through my kids, really. Just taking them around, making sure they get to the ceremonies, making sure they get to do things. Getting over this idea that in order to be Indian, you're powwow, powwow. And it's just not like that. And I've, when I was growing up, it was like, if there was a powwow, I was there.
Yeah, it was just like,
to be home when there's a powwow, say up in White Shield.
Oh yeah.
It was like, no, you didn't stay home.
Yeah, that's only an hour and a half.
You were there. You were there. We would go all summer, every weekend. Yep. And now I'm trying to put a emphasis on my kids where they love to dance. But I don't want that to be their life.
Exactly.
I don't want that to be to identify them as kids. I want them to go to the cultural camps and for them to, like, not be all about the powwows and want to do traditional stuff. So like making sure they go, like, support their relatives who might be sun dancing however they pray. Prayer is, like, pretty much our way. It's if you want to be Indian, it has to go through prayer. And that, whether that mean in our social events, they're always around prayer, and to teach them, different ways to pray, because I'm a Rikara in Hidatsa, my wife's Lakota and Oglala. And even when you get into there's different ways to pray. And as long as they go to do different things, whether that's her side, my side, that's what's most important to me. And that's how I stay in touch with is basically through my kids.
Basically, you're trying to, like, with my kid too, it's trying to expose my child to the same things that my dad and grandpa exposed me to. And it's not, like you said, not all about just powwows. It's about realizing your history and where you came from, and that our grandfathers and grandmothers of the past fought to get us to where we are now.
Yeah, and we went through, I mean, when you talk about our history, we went through a lot. You know, only two generations ago, it was a hard time.
It was.
You know, it was almost genocide. And our grandparents went through it. We aren't that far away.
We're not.
And even though when they talk about the ideas of boarding schools and the traumatic effects they had on our people, the idea of that whole thinking of that generation is still affecting us today. And that's why we're losing our languages. That's why we're losing a lot of things. And we're trying to, and that's why with our youth, there's been such a push for our youth, whether it be locally, nationally, as high as the president has pushed for our youth. And we talk about our local tribal councils and our leadership locally. A lot of the focus is on the youth, and they're the seventh generation. They're the ones that are going to bring back a lot of our ways. And that's why I really pushed for my kids to learn and do as much as possible, because it wasn't available for me out.
Yeah.
And each generation will get stronger and stronger. Yep. And as we more people learn the language and more people are aware of what's happened in the past and its effects, and we learn and we grow together, and it's only important to push the people who will come after us.
The other part is being proud and focusing on the positive things of the Native American culture. You know, it's so easy to get caught up on the bad things. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's what people want to hear.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard because they want to hear the hardships. When you talk about people who come to North Dakota, whether it be for some type of event or whatever, they want to do a story about Standing Rock. They want to do a story about Fort Berthold or Pine Ridge or whatever. Mm-hmm. What do they want to hear?
Exactly.
They want to hear the same stories. But you know what? Our places are so beautiful. Where we come from, there's so much culture there. They're beautiful places. Mm-hmm. And our teachings are there. And it's important for us to really make people aware that our reservations aren't tragic places like people think.
They aren't.
Because our media, that's what they want to talk about. You hear stories on the news, whether it doesn't matter what channel it is, they're going to focus on alcoholism, which
definitely.
Is everywhere, not just our reservations. They're going to talk about crime, drugs, everything, which is everywhere. It's not just on our people.
That's true.
We have a lot of successful people. We have a lot of bright students. We have a lot of great leadership. No matter where you're at, it's not marketed that way. It's not what people want to hear, and that's not what people are going to report on.
Yep,
so it gives us a negative aspect. So a negative way to look at our people. So when you see somebody walking down the street, all of a sudden they're dirty Indians.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they're wearing black and
they have a hoodie on.
Yeah.
You know
and that's the idea. Like, you could have a non-Indian walking down with the same exact clothes, but they're not dirty.
Yeah.
You know, why is that? It's this way of thinking that our media has portrayed us. And it's important for us to really get people to know more about our culture, because it's not all about the negative aspects that everybody sees. True.